step. I'm starting my life over again. I got to clean up what I messed up. I am starting my life over again. Now some of you all will get some bleach to try to clean up what you messed up. Some of you all will get what we call Tide, because you think that'll wash everything away. But there's only one way to clean up what you messed up. It's the blood of Jesus. It'll wash you whiter than snow. Can I get a witness in here? So if you're gonna clean up, get something that'll do a good job. Amen. Well, again, welcome to Crossroad. It's good to see each one of you as we celebrate the Lord's goodness. Gonna get into God's word in just a minute. I gotta preach quick today. I said I gotta preach quick because I got another service this afternoon. But nevertheless, we are thankful for all that you've done for the gleaning for the world. Reverend Ray delivered the all the collection that we had for the disaster from the hurricane. And that's now with Gleaning for the World. And we thank everyone for contributing. Brother James Brown, I want to mention him. He contributed an entire pallet of water, not just a packet, but a whole pallet of water. So we're grateful for that. Niecy Jones and her co-workers, give a shout out, Niecy. Well, they contributed some canned goods and other things. Even our online members, Vogue Ward, she sent something from Maryland directly to them. So again, thank you for reaching out and for sharing. We thank Reverend Ray and also Deacon Slade. And I think one of the trustees was here, was helping out with Deacon Creed. So thank you all for delivering that down to Gleaning for the World. They still need some Bibles. They're still in need of Bibles. Those of you that are online, you can Google the website and contribute some Bibles, Sunday school materials. I know that we don't use our old Sunday school materials, so Becky, that might be something we can donate to them. So we ask that we gather that together. Even old books, magazines, and other reading materials, because all of that, of course, was destroyed in the flood. So whatever you can do to help them out, that will be greatly appreciated. Trunk or Treat is coming up, and Sean wanted us to remind you to bring out your candy, but also we need individuals who would donate their trunk. This is going to be on Saturday, the 26th of October. I believe that's the Saturday coming up. So we want to certainly do what we can for that and the needs that they have for that. And as mentioned before, we are going down to the Bannister Hill Baptist Church, where we'll be sharing with them in their church anniversary this afternoon. So thank you again for praying for us. And we're just delighted that we've got a family from Colorado. Amen. All the way from T.L. and her husband. So we're grateful to see that. Did I say they're Colorado? Colorado. I'm from Scottsburg, Virginia, so you got to understand that we got certain ways we say stuff. Amen. But if you have your Bible, turn with us to Psalm 27. We started off on last week, and we were talking about fear and how that fear would be one of the signs of the end. Today, we're going to be talking about something else as the signs of the end, but I want to go back to Psalm 27. We opened up last week with Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What is God to you? Is he your light and your salvation? You don't fear anything when you've got God. Amen. But you also need hope, not just to have the absence of fear, but the presence of hope. In this verse, it says in Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So that is our scripture text for today. Some of the renderings, the interpretations of that say, I would have lost hope unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. So my question today is this: is God's goodness gone? Is God's goodness gone? And all the people replied, I still, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, I pray you bless us now to preach your word. Help us, Lord, to bring out the things that we've studied and even beyond the things that the Spirit would have us to know. I pray that you touch someone's heart, not just in this auditorium, but also beyond. Father, I pray that you bless as the word goes out, that we might glorify and honor your name for the goodness and mercy that you've shown. Thank you that your mercy is everlasting, your truth endures to all generations, and therefore we rejoice and we're glad. Bless us now in our time together. Let it be time well spent in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. I'm getting old. I got a trembling in my voice, so you all bear with us. Amen. Why are we talking about getting old? We're going to heaven anyway, right? And we'll never grow old. Remind me to get back to this right here. Y'all know what this is? Debit card. Different from credit. Debit card. All right, I'm going to get back to that in just a little bit, because that's going to help us to bring to a close what we wanted to share with you. As Christians, we need to be informed about the end times. We need to be informed from the standpoint of we understand that it's something that is to come. Make no mistake about it, when the Bible brings out that the end times will occur, that means that as Christians, we've got to position ourselves. We've got to be in a place of faith that we fully trust that God has this. God's got it under control. We have certain things that we talk about in the end times and things that will happen to us. We talked about the 10 threats that we as God's people will face. And the first one is deception. Jesus said, don't be deceived. He said that to his disciples when they come to you and say, I'm Christ. Don't be deceived. A lot of people are going to be saying a lot of things. Don't be deceived. Now, how can you not be deceived? You got to know the truth. When you know the truth, that sets you free. But we also learn that there's fear. The Bible says men's hearts will be failing them because of fear. That's what's happening. People are trembling. They don't know what's next, and they're concerned. Today we're going to be talking about hopelessness, losing all hope, having no real vision of what the future is going to hold. When you don't know what the future is going to hold, and that God holds the future, it's hopeless. We'll share a little bit more about that in just a minute. But then restlessness. People can't be still. They're going here and there, but they're accomplishing very little. Lack of compassion. Do you see that today? Rage. If you don't believe there's rage out there, get on the road and cut somebody off. It used to be that they would give you sign language. But now they'll pull out a gun. We have wickedness. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so it'll be in this day. Just people living reckless lives because they feel that there's no restraint. Lawlessness will also prevail. And then you have idolatry. People worshiping idols. Perversion. People giving in to the sensuality of their own flesh rather than recognizing that God made you for worship. He made you for him. Then lastly, selfishness. All of these are signs of the end time. Now, the question that we might ask ourselves, why in the world would Jesus want to tell us and inform us of the end times? Why would he say this? Why would Paul write to the churches and tell them that the end of time is coming? Why would Peter, why would Jude and the rest of the gospel writers who wrote letters to believers, why would they tell them the end time is coming? And I believe there are basic things that you and I, as children of God, need to understand about the end time. Number one, there will be a judgment. God is going to judge this world. You know, we look at our judicial system and we say, it takes so long to get a court date. Don't worry, the big court date is coming. God is going to judge the world. He will not judge it according to the rules of man, but according to the righteousness of God. Well, why is God delaying? We've got a whole lot going on in this world. God is a merciful God. And until the last person on this planet has an opportunity to hear the gospel, God is going to say, you know what? I'm going to hold off until that person comes and they repent and they turn to me. The other writers would say that God's judgment would come, but it must begin with the church, with the people of God. Not only will God's judgment come, but we also understand that there will be a time of great tribulation. The Bible calls it the day of Jacob's trial. 7 years. 7 years. People will be on this earth and living in a state of panic. Why are they panicking? Well, one is because God's wrath is going to be poured out on the earth, but they're going to start seeing events taking place in the atmosphere, on the earth, raging of the sea, wars and rumors of wars. We're going to have all of these calamities taking place, and people are going to say, well, what's happening? God's wrath is being poured out without mercy. But something is going to happen before the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians tells us that the Lord himself will come. And he's not coming down to the earth. It tells us that he's coming in the air. How many of y'all believe that? He's coming in the air. There's going to be a great trumpet of God sounding in the air and the voice of the archangel, and then something miraculous is going to happen. The dead in Christ, who are they? Those are the people that died in faith. People that were down here at this altar and who had said last words over, took them to the back and put them in the ground. Guess what? Those same people will be raised from the dead if they had faith in Christ. We are told this because we don't want to sit back and think, well, we have no hope. Everything is going to be gone. No, 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 ladies and gentlemen. For the child of God, you need to have hope. You need to know that your hope is built on nothing other than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The rapture, which is called that because it said that we which are alive and remain, watch the word, shall be caught up. We're going to be snatched up from this world and we shall ever be with the Lord. Now, I know some skeptics are saying that ain't going to happen. Watch. And Jesus said, now the reason why you will know that those days are coming is when you start seeing these signs. You start watching these signs of what's going on in the world, then you will know, man, it's getting close. How many of y'all feel that we're getting close to the coming of Christ? You know, the book of Daniel also talks about the end times. It said, men shall be going to and fro. And information or knowledge shall be increased. You got digital information right on your phone. This computer, I can get connected with the world. Isn't that something? Daniel talked about it. Isaiah talked about it. Now, were these people just rambling? No, ladies and gentlemen, the end time is going to come. And when people start seeing that happen, they're going to lose all hope. What do people do when they lose hope? They just give up. They think there's no hope. But guess what? You and I have hope. Now, here's a big question. Here's a big question a lot of people say. Will I have to go through the tribulation? That all depends. That all depends. Here's what it depends on.
If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to be part of that group that take the early trip. Yep. It says that once you are taken up into the air, so shall we ever be. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 19. Look at it. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that. I believe. Now, the reason why I know that is because he's already snatched me up. He snatched me out of sin. Amen. I didn't just quit stuff. People say, well, I'm coming to church as soon as I quit. I didn't quit. Couldn't quit. The devil had a hold of me. What happened to me? God Almighty snatched me up from my sin. Now, if he can do that, I know he can do something else with my soul. I know he can save my soul. Amen? And by the way, in case you think that your soul ain't going to leave here, watch when we have another funeral at the church. Those people leave their body. All right? You understand that? So you're going to leave this world one way or the other. Now, where was I on the rapture? Those that love God and committed to God, they're going to take the early trip, be caught up in the air with the Lord. The rest will have to go through the tribulation. Now, who are those? Those are the ones that pretended. They say, you're saved? Yeah, I'm saved. But they don't really know Christ in their heart. They've never surrendered to him. See, you can't call him Savior until you call him Lord. Are y'all here? When you say he's your Savior, you also believe that he's the one that's ruling your life. You get out of the throne, you get out of the seat, and you allow him, Lord Jesus, take control of my life. Now, folks that know all about it, they know everything about it, but they can tell you all the scriptures in the Bible. But they've never committed to Christ. What's going to happen to them? They're going to be on this earth going through that 7 years of great tribulation. Or, as Tim LaHaye would say, they are going to have to endure these end times and they will be left behind. Now, I don't want to scare you. Here's the good news. Let's say you wait and say, I ain't going to give my heart to Christ until I have to. Let's say you're waiting, the rapture takes place. Here's the good news. During the rapture, if you get on your knees and you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's the Savior of life, guess what God's going to do? He's going to save you. But you still got to go through this mess in the world. Are y'all still here? It's kind of like if you know that you have the potential of something happen, you want to take out insurance ahead of time. You don't wait till a thief breaks in your house and say, oh, I think I need some insurance. And then you try to file a late claim and the people are going to tell you, you are crazy. You should have taken out the insurance before the event happened. That's why we preach about the end time, so that people can get ready and know that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You got to know it for yourself. You got to know that he's coming again. And for those people that go through that 7 years of great tribulation, it will be the time of Jacob's trial. But there'll be people coming to the Lord and saying, you know what? I was wrong about that stuff. And I should have given up this long time ago. But now I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to get right with God. You will have to give up your life. But also know this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment you leave this earth, or maybe you lose your life on this earth, you will be instantly caught up into the presence of God and you join the rest of us saints that's already shouting glory. Amen? So those are the things that's going to happen. Now, for those that don't believe God, that have not trusted in God, they're going to go through this end time, see all of the things happening, and they're going to say to themselves, there's no hope. Now, you're probably asking the question, how can a person have hope if they know that these things are happening? It's because, guess what? 7 years cannot compare with eternity. It's just 7 years. Will it be hard? Yes. Going to be difficult? Yes. But after that 7 years, there's going to be a time on the earth that we call the millennium of Christ, where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And you won't have to cast a vote for him. And guess what? There will be no Congress. There will be no nations coming together and say, well, I don't know whether Christ is right. You know, we're going to. No, let me. I started to say something the Lord didn't want me to say, and the Holy Spirit cut me off. But in other words, for those who rebel against them, there's a place that you got for you. All right? I'm just going to say that and let it go. So the end times will be a time of hopelessness. What does this have to do with our scripture passage? Our scripture passage telling us is that no matter what happens, you can still depend on God. You can believe to see the goodness of the Lord where? In the land of the living. I'm going to explain that to you in just a second, but here's the situation of those that don't know God who said, I don't want to have anything to do with God. You're without Christ. You are an alien from the commonwealth of God, which means the blessing that God said he'd give to Abraham. You are an alien. Watch this now. You're away from the covenants of promise. You're a stranger to that, but you also have this situation. You're without hope. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Anytime you do not have God, you do not have hope. That's why people run from one thing to another, from one habit to another, from one addiction to another. Why? They're looking for something to hold on to. But you and I ought to rejoice because we've got something to hold on to. We've got Jesus, my friend. And when you know him, that's all you need to know. I said, when you know him, that's all you need to know. We used to be that way. And that's what it says in Ephesians. We were that way. We didn't have hope until we turned to the blessed hope. We turned to Christ the Savior. And that gave us hope. Some of you are going through situations and things right now in your life. You can't explain why you're going through it. And you're asking God, Lord, when is it going to end? But deep down on the inside, you know you got this blessed assurance that if it doesn't end, if the storm don't cease, can I get a witness? My soul is anchored in the Lord. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. There's a verse from 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself, not an angel. He's not going to send Gabriel. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. Can you imagine that on the earth now? People say, I don't know whether this rapture thing, and all of a sudden they start seeing these people, whew, in the twinkling of an eye, get caught up in the clouds. Where are they going? You know what? If you got to ask that question, you better get ready for the next thing that's happening. Amen? We're going to be gone. We're going to be gone, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And notice that it closes by saying, forever. We will forever be with the Lord. But now, in this life, you're going to go through trials. You're going to have hardships. Anybody that preaches to you, you're never going to have a struggle in life. They're lying to you. You're going to have struggle. You were born in this world and somebody slapped you. All you did was show up and get a... Life is filled with trouble and struggles and trials, but that gives us no reason to not have hope in God. As a matter of fact, that really centers on our text today and what we need to do, how to get through these times of hopelessness, these times where everybody else is just throwing up their hands and giving up and causing havoc in the life of somebody else. How do you avoid that track? How do you stay on the side of assurance? How do you stay on the side of being positive and saying, you know what? I know that God is going to make a way for me. In that verse has some wonderful promises from God. It says that when we look to God, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God. The first thing that you do, confess your need for God. Now, how does he find hope in his situation? And if you read about David in the Old Testament, you've come to know he went through struggle after struggle, trial after trial. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect, but he had perfect faith in a living God. And one of the things that brings you close to God is when you confess that you need him. What is going to church all about? Is it not saying within yourself, you know what, I need to find God. I need God to deal with me. Why? You're going to faint. You're going to lose strength. You're going to lose the confidence that you need to face life, because that can only come from a living God. When you confess your need for him, you're saying, God, I could depend on my 401k plan. I could depend on my job. I could depend on my career. I could depend on my friends. I could depend on my habits. But no, God, I'm not going to do that, because I know they'll fail me. No matter how much money you got, it'll run out. You run into the right problem, and everything that you have is gone. By the way, some of you all that believe in investing and all of that, do you not know that every time you try to go out there and try to invest maybe in some stocks or bonds, they will tell you, this is not insured. Y'all ever read that? It's not insured, which means you're taking a risk. It's doing real good. It's going to have some gains, but it could have some losses. Let me tell you about an investment that never loses. When you put your confidence in the living God, when you say that you trust in him, God never fails you. God will never let you down. And so what you're saying is, God Almighty, I am putting my full confidence in you. That's what the psalmist did. He said, I would have fainted unless I had believed. Which brings us to the second thing that you've got to do. And I call it admission. Admission. Not an admission of saying, I did wrong and I need to do right. A lot of people recognize that. But I'm talking about the actual admission where you go somewhere. He's trying to find something. And he's not satisfied with anything else. He could say, I just want the blessing of God. But he says, I'm looking for the goodness of God. Everybody say, goodness of God. Do you know what God's goodness is? Actually, is everything good about God. So what the psalmist is really saying, God, I'm going to faint if I don't see it. Please note also, he said, just to see it. Just to see it. If I can see it. If I can know that God is there. By the way, which brings me to this little card right here. What I told you this was a what? Debit card. And I got it from my financial institution. They gave me this card that now I can use. I don't need to see the money in the bank. Hopefully it's there. I put it there. What I do, all right, if I've got something that needs to be transacted, or if I've got to pay something, I'm in the checkout line now, I don't have to reach in my wallet, I don't have to try to sit back and write a check, I got this little handy dandy card right here, and all I need to do is tap. And so what they do, they pull the money out of my account, I walk out of the store with my goods. They're happy, I'm happy, and my bank says you had it in the account. My credit union, by the way. Credit union. All right? This card is something like the goodness of God. I'm about to preach now. The only difference with this card, all I got in the account is what I put in there. But if I got the goodness of God, all I need to do is see the evidence of the goodness of God, trust Al that I know that he's going to back me up. If I need a blessing, I got the goodness of God. Do you see, Brother Pollard? If I need help, where does my help come from? From the Lord. He doesn't have to come down from glory and show me that he's there. Just let me see you good. Can I get a little bit closer? When I think about the goodness of the Lord. Huh? And all, come on, Tony. And all he's done for me. My soul shouts hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. See, the devil can cause trouble, but he can't take away my cause. By the way, this one's got an expiration date on it, which means if I try to use it after the expiration date, it ain't going to work. But guess what never expires? Guess what never leaves me? The blood still got its power. Man, I wish I could preach like I feel today. If I can just see the goodness of the Lord. That's what this, he had such confidence in God. He had such assurance of knowing that God was going to come through for him. He didn't have to say, well, Lord, you got to send some kind of angel. You got to send me this and you got to send. He said, no, Lord, all I want to do is see your goodness. And it doesn't matter what time I'm going through. Doesn't matter what I'm facing in my life. If I could just see the goodness of God, that'll be all I need. Saints, I don't need to tell you that some of you feel like you're going through the end time in your life right now because of the pressure that you're feeling from the world. Whether or not it's happening on a global scale, there's stuff that's going on in your life. You're saying to yourself, what in the world? What is happening here? Get your card out. As a matter of fact, get your Bible out. Get the Word of God out. Start looking in His Word. And say, God, I'm reading chapter after chapter, book after book, and I see in this book that you've never failed. In other words, there's plenty in the account. All you got to do is find a way of drafting it out. Lord, have mercy. Can I preach? So he says now, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We got confession. That means I'm going to tell him I need him. But we also have admission. I'm going to enter into that hope that I have. I'm going to enter into that joy of the Lord. But the third thing is possession. When you know you got something, when you know you got something, you know it's not going to leave you. You know that everything's going to be all right. Mom and Dad passed some years, Mom in 2000 and 13, Dad in 2004. But they had a farm down there in Halifax. Guess what they did before they passed? They deeded that property. Chris, they deeded it to us. I don't have to go down there and look at the court records and make sure I got it. I got to pay my taxes on it. If I don't pay taxes, then I... And see, it's going to be gone, you know what I'm saying? But they deeded it to us. And when you got the goodness of God that gives you that hope, and you possess that, that means that that in itself is the blessed assurance that you have what God gave you. The devil might be able to deceive you on a whole lot of things, but he cannot deceive you on this one thing. If you know that you're saved, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The world can call me whatever it wants to, but when the rapture comes, just call me gone. Here's my main point. Here's my main point. When you possess it, when you have it, when it's been deeded to you, and Jesus wrote a deed when he was on Calvary's cross that through his blood, everybody would be saved. I took him up on his word, and the blood has been applied to my life. I know that I'm saved. The devil can't change that event. He can't change the place. He can't change the hour. And I know that I have it. And guess what? That's my ticket to glory. And as long as I know I got Jesus, I'm getting in. I'm getting in because of what he's done. Don't lose heart because of these times that you're going through. Don't lose faith because you're having to go through all of these things. Know that God has your life in his hands. As you go out of this church today, you're going to find a lot of hopeless people in the world. You can see that look on their face. Emptiness. What is it? They don't know God. They don't know the blessed Savior. That's going to give you an opportunity to say to them, I've got something I want to share with you. Looks like you're down and out. Let me just share a little bit of encouragement. Do you know that Jesus loves you? You don't have to pull out your debit card and give it to them because they're going to use it. You don't know how to use your stuff. Other folks do. But you do have to pull out your testimony and say to them, God is so good. I've got the goodness of God in my life, and I just want to share his goodness with you. Can we do that? I close by sharing this one insight. The Apostle Paul describes what we call the fellowship that we have with God, this union that we have with God, possession of faith in God. He describes both faith and hope in the same verse. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, not tomorrow's faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me show you that in action. Faith says, I know God is good. Hope looks down the line into the future and said, all the time. You didn't catch that. Faith says, God is good. Hope looks down the ages of time and says, all the time. Faith says, hope looks down the line of time and says, God is good. Thank you. Thank you that the Lord is good. He will never change. He will never back down from being good. The thing I like about it, he's good to you. He's good to me. He even shares his sunlight with the sinner as well as the saint. But one of these days, guess what? God's going to say, my goodness is just reserved for those who've listened, for those who've obeyed me. Those that don't have God, you're going to go through some hopeless time. And in order to avoid that, get on board today. Say yes to the Lord and give him full control of your life, and he'll issue you a permanent card for life, and you'll say, Lord, thank you for this card that I got that I'm going to carry with me everywhere I go. Amen. Even if I lose it, it'll find me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Hymn writer said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Am I right about it? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Come on, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I'd love to tell it. I'm going to ask that everyone will stand. I want to give the invitation. It might be someone today that's pondering Pastor, I don't want to go through the end time without having a hope. Well, you can get that fixed up in just a little bit. Amen. Give your heart to Christ. Let him know that he's Lord of your life. Yes. And you'll have that blessed hope. Looking unto him who is that blessed hope. Maybe you're online and you can't come in here, but you can certainly correspond with us. But before you do that, just say, Lord, I need you to be my hope. Invite him to come in. And if you don't correspond with us, get in somebody's church that's preaching the gospel. Let them know that you love the Lord and you gave your life to him. Amen. The invitation is given. If there be one today, we invite you to come. Our male chorus sings. You can start walking. I got a card up here for you. Amen. With everyone today. Amen. God bless you. Come on, fellas.
Stood an old rugged suffering and shame.
Yes, thank you.
And I love that old cross, where the dear risked and bled for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll
something today. If you live here and thinking that God is not coming, Jesus is on his way, and some of us are moving east as Lot did. Don't go east, come back, because if you don't, Abraham may not come and get you, but move back two crossroads, move back in town and serve the Lord. Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the message.
Thank you. Thank you for the message. Thank you.
Thank you for thy manservant that you have used to communicate to us the gospel that saves. We bless your name. We hallow your name. At this time, dear God, you have given us an opportunity to participate in giving. We thank you for the offering.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the opportunity, and we do pray, dear God, that you use it, most importantly, to uplift your kingdom. And also, Father, it may be used so that men and women, oh God, may have an opportunity, no matter where they are, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to trust him before it's too late. We bless your name. We hallow your name. So as we leave this place today, Lord, we do pray that the Holy Spirit will motivate us to share with others that good news that he has communicated to us. Thank you for this privilege. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.